Scottsdale is having the large and bulky item collection in our neighborhood, the area of the city between Happy Valley and Dynamite, this coming week. That reminds me of the story of a huge sofa that had been taken out to the curb for collection. Because the sofa was really in pretty good shape, a lot of people driving by slowed down to take a closer look at it. But then when they saw how big the sofa was, they just drove on by without stopping. And everybody did that until finally a compact car pulled up and they stopped and they came out and they looked at the sofa, they removed all of the cushions, and then they picked up the sofa, turned it upside down, and shook it as hard as they could. And then they picked up all the coins that fell out of the sofa and then got back into the car and drove away. Have you noticed that there are some people who just seem to have a knack for making money? What other people see as just a huge sofa, they see as a source of income. They have a way of being able to turn everything they touch into gold. But then there are other people who have no such luck. And our gospel lesson for this morning is about a woman who had no such luck. A woman that really had very, very little material wealth. Very little at all. The gospel writer Mark calls her a poor widow. Now, can you even imagine how desperate the situation for widows was back in those days? First of all, most women were full-time homemakers. They really didn't have any other choice available to them. There's no such thing as women working outside the home. Also, at that time, a lot of people, especially men, died at a young age. And suppose that you were a woman whose husband had died at a young age, leaving you destitute. And so now, in addition to the burden of grief, was the question of how are you going to be able to provide even for the basic essentials like food on the table and a roof over your head? How are you going to be able to do it? The plight for widows in those days was desperate indeed. No wonder the early church saw as one of its major priorities, taking care of the widows. Widows have it tough, can have it tough today, but at that particular time, widows had it even worse. And so the situation that she was in, Jesus was amazed, and Jesus called the disciples' attention to the fact that this poor widow, maybe she was among those whose house had been devoured, taken away by predatory lenders that Jesus referred to earlier in the gospel lesson. That Jesus put in, that this woman put in everything that she had. Even though it was only two small copper coins, still she put everything she had into the offering plate. In her situation, what she gave might as well have been $1 million. You see, when your very existence is at stake, any gift is a sacrificial gift. And that's what that woman gave. Now, fortunately, we don't really know what it means to live in poverty. True, we might wish for having greater financial resources. We realize that everything seems to be so expensive. This is the time of year when people are signing up for next year's medical coverage, and we notice that the cost only goes up from the previous year. Everything is only more expensive, but still, we do not live in real poverty. We might wish that we had more financial resources than we have. We might feel like the young man who is being grilled by his girlfriend's father about his financial affairs. The father asked, "Well, if you were to marry my daughter, what would be your annual income?" The young man said, $60,000 a year. The father said, "Well, that's not too shabby and not too bad, and if you were to add my daughter's $45,000 to that, that really would make a very comfortable income." And then the young man replied meekly, "Well, sir, I've already counted your daughter's $45,000 in with the $60,000. We may feel like the man that said to his wife, "Well, I'd be happy to follow the advice, pay as you go, if I could just finish paying for where I have already been." We might find that there always seems to be too much month left over at the end of the money. And yet we find that with a little bit of discipline and watching expenses and being careful about what we spend money on, we can meet all of our financial obligations. Unlike that widow, we do not live in real poverty. And so the main point that I want to make this morning is this. Our giving to God reflects what we value the most. Our giving to God is not a reflection of our income, of our net assets, of our balance sheet. Rather, our giving to God reflects what we value, how much we love Him, how much we trust Him, where do we find our security, in Him or in our net worth. And so no wonder Jesus said in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Our giving to God reflects our values. Now, people can be really funny when it comes to money. For example, one time Family Circle magazine took a poll of people asking them, what would they be willing to do for $1 million? Good question for all of us. What would you be willing to do for $1 million? They found that 13% of the people said that they would be willing to give up all television for an entire year for that much money. 34% said that they'd be willing to swallow a worm for $1 million. And a shocking 41% said that they would be willing to run down a street naked for $1 million. Now, before anybody goes streaking out of here or starts looking for a worm to swallow, let me reassure you that no one is offering you $1 million for doing anything like that. But the truth of the matter is that if you want to see what's most important to us, what do you need to look at? Your canceled checks and your credit card receipts. Take a look at your checkbook. Take a look at your credit card statement. What do those canceled checks and credit card receipts that you have reveal about what is most important to you? People are funny when it comes to money. The truth of the matter is that studies show that the wealthier the people become, the less they give percentage-wise to charitable causes, including church and the Lord. Studies show that something seems to happen to people as their amount of material resources increase. The more they accumulate, the more difficult it is for them to let go of what they have accumulated. No wonder Jesus said that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter into the kingdom of God. Our kingdom, our giving reflects not our income or our net asset value, but instead our values. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. Unfortunately, a lot of people by their giving show that they do not value their relationship with God that much. I remember when there was one man, he was quite a successful banker in town. He joined the church in California. And in the new members class, he said that he looked at his giving, level of giving at that point, and he said he was absolutely shocked. He said, "You mean that I love God that little?" Well, this poor widow probably did not know that she was being watched. There were all sorts of other people that were parading into the synagogue that day, the temple, and they were making a showing of how much they were giving. But this widow was probably embarrassed by how little she had to give, and so she probably tried to give it as inconspicuously as possible. And yet we know from the gospel reading that there is one person who saw how much she gave, and the person who saw is the one who matters the most. He saw how much he gave, and so he said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you that this widow, this poor widow, has given more than all the others who have contributed abundantly to the treasury, because all of them gave out of their abundance. But she, in her state of poverty, gave all that she had, everything that she had to live on." Her giving was a reflection of her love for God, her trust in God, and her total dedication to God. Once there was a wealthy businessman who needed $1 million in order to clinch an important business deal. And so he went to the church in order to pray for the money. And it just so happens that there was another man that he was sitting next to who needed $100 in order to pay an urgent debt. And so he heard the other man praying for $100, and the wealthy businessman reached into his pocket, pulled out his wallet, pulled out a $100 bill, and put it into the hands of the man that was praying for $100. That man saw what he had been given, got up elated, and ran out of the sanctuary, just totally excited. And then the wealthy businessman closed his eyes and prayed, "And Lord, now that I have your undivided attention." Well, this poor widow had Jesus' undivided attention. He saw what she gave. He was deeply moved how much she gave. And he said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, she has given more than all the others, because while they gave out of their abundance, she in her poverty gave everything that she had, all that she had to live on." Reminds me of the boy that was in Sunday school, and the Sunday school teacher asked her 8 eager students, "Would you be willing to give $1 million, she started with. "Would you be willing to give $1 million for missions?" And all of the boys shouted, "Yes, I would give $1 million for missions." And then the teacher asked, "Well, would you be willing to give $1,000 for missions?" And all the boys said, "Yes, I would give $1,000 for mission." And then the teacher said, "Would you be willing to give $100 for mission? You didn't have $1 million, didn't have $1,000, but you have $100. Would you be willing to give $100 for mission, for missions?" And all the boys shouted, "Yes, I would give $100 for mission, missions." And then the teacher asked, "Would you be willing to give $1 for missions?" And everybody said yes, except one little boy by the name of Johnny. And the teacher saw that Johnny did not say yes, and she saw that Johnny was clutching his front pocket. And she said to Johnny, "Johnny, why would you not be willing to give $1 for missions?" And Johnny said, "Well, the reason I don't want to give $1 for missions is because I have $1. The widow's mite. You could spell that mite, M-I-T-E, and then it speaks of how much she gave. 2 small coins worth about a penny. Or you could spell the widow's mite, M-I-G-H-T, and it speaks of the power of her example for her, for us, the widow's mite. And so what about you? What about each one of us? In your pocket, you have $1. You can start there and give that $1. You have a skill. You can start there and give that skill. You have some time. You have a talent. You could start there and carve out that time and offer that talent. You also have an ability, a willing, able hand. You can start there and lend that hand. Jesus said that those who are faithful in little will be faithful in much. Each one of us have several dollars. We have many talents. We have time. We have skills. We have abilities. We have able hands. That's where we need to start and offer that to the Lord. Amen. Now, in the Bible, God often shows that He has a special heart for foreigners, for orphans, and for widows. And there are many times in the Bible where God gave His special blessing to widows. So at this time, I would like to invite any widows who are present here to join me here by the altar. We'd like to have a special time of blessing for any who are widows.